Welcome to episode 42 of the Web 2.0 show. Icon has beer, or Kevin Rose and Gary Vaynerchuk.
The Web 2.0 show profiles the hottest people behind the latest web services. I am your host, Adam Stachowiak.
And I'm Josh Owens. Without further ado, let's get to the first episode in our series from the future of web apps down in Miami, Florida.
Woo, Miami!
I also wanted to thank our first sponsor, Engine Yard. And now on with the show.
So we're here at the future of weblogs, or web apps, scrapblog party. Yeah, there we go. We'll get it right. So we're here with Kevin Rose of Dig and Pounce fame and Gary Vaynerchuk of Wine Library TV and Corked fame.
Yes.
So we just thought we'd have a quick chat about what you guys are working on. I guess just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a diehard Jets fan that fundamentally is in the Web 2.0 space because I love people, and this to me is the most people-oriented space going right now. I'm also obviously obnoxiously intense about wine, and right now I'm actually working on a top secret gourmet food website that is, I'll give you a little scoopy scoop, that is on the come very soon. This guy to the right of me, he's probably doing much cooler stuff. Don't want.
Thought you were gonna start hating. My name's Kevin. I'm a Packers fan. I believe last year the Packers had a much better record than the Jets. No mic pass back here, man. No, the mic's in my hand. Don't give the mic.
See, this is why these guys are awesome. Why don't we talk about the Jets-Packers 2 years ago when we were up 31-0 at half, dude?
Wait, really? You want to really
in
go
Lambeau.
Back to the past?
It's only
should we talk
one
about
year
Super
more,
Bowl
dude.
1 and Super Bowl 2?
Dude, tell these...
We can talk about that, too.
Well, we don't have to talk... You obviously don't have to tell these people who or what you are. I think the entire world that listens to this knows
I'm
exactly who you are.
I'm a Brett Favre fan is what I am.
He retired, I heard.
No, he didn't retire, you bastard. Don't... That is like sacrilege to me, man. That hurts. That goes to the core. Technology. I have a website where you click a button and the number goes up by one.
And then, like, you added feeds, right? And
we added feeds. Yeah. We added friends lists. And this thing called social networking, which is apparently pretty big with the kids these days.
And then you do Pounce. Like, what is that?
So Pounce is basically a way to share media with a tight group of friends. So if you have a link or if you have a song or if you have a file, when you're trying to pass it around, we know the email's broken. I mean, if you ever try to send a 25 meg file over email, it's not going to work. If you ever try to send a 25 meg file over IM, you'll get these like firewall connection issue, you know. So we really solved that problem with creating a standalone Pounce app that uses standard ports like port 80, where you don't have to worry about firewalls, and just it's really easy to use, and it's a really easy way to blast out something to a large group of people. So if I have 50 friends on Pounce, I can say, you know, here's a song I'm really into, click a couple buttons, and then bam, they all have it at the same time. They all get notifications, and they can download it, listen to it, share it with their friends, pass it on, things like that.
So you guys actually, with Wine Library TV, you guys were sponsoring Corked, and then you actually purchased Corked?
Yeah, so the Dan Cederholm, Dan Benjamin, obviously extremely rad dudes. Dan Cederholm, sick designer. Dan Cederholm became a big fan of Wine Library TV, emails me one day. You know, I'm very much new into the space, so I'm like, Google his name. I tell like my lead developer, like, Dan Cederholm just emailed. He's like, what? You know, it was really awesome. He's like the sick, nicest dude ever. So, you know, basically I'll be really upfront with you. I checked out Corked. It was really nice. And I just wanted to help them. You know, luckily I had this great business. So I was like, yeah, dude, let me buy some sponsorship. Because they were like, oh, we don't know, da-da-da. You know, those guys got busy. They're, you know, entrepreneurs. Dan Cederholm's got a lot going on. And they felt they were neglecting Corked. And they really wanted to sell it to me and nobody else. So, you know, it was kind of one of those you can't refuse. Really, and I was super not prepared to take it on. And as seen by the fact that I haven't done jack shit within 9 months because I've been finishing something else before I could do something with it. You can't juggle too many things at once. And between pumping out 5 shows a week and answering 15 gajillion emails and all the other shit we talked about today, we'll get to it, but it's got great potential. Since I bought it. You know, we doubled subscriptions because, you know, everybody wants to friend me up that watches Wine Library TV. And I've got really high hopes for it because having a niche social network that can be driven by somebody who's got a lot of street cred like me in that field, I think has a lot of potential. And I think wine people need a great place to hang. So I'm excited about it.
So you work with Eric Kastner, right?
He's yes. Eric is my lead developer. Nasty skills. Love him. Cannot wait to go to South By but this week with him. I owe an enormous amount to Eric Kastner. I'm not here right this minute without Eric Kastner. Just the truth. He showed me the way into this world.
Yeah, so that's interesting because, like, your PHP with Dig and Python with Pounce, and then you use Rails with Kastner.
And we're using Rails for this new top secret gourmet site. So Kastner loves Rails. You know, he's all Rails comped out and all that.
So why Python? Is that just what Leah knew with Pounce? Or
Leah likes Python. no, God, Gary, they're going to get me in trouble. First of all, I hope that that audio got picked up from Gary, because Gary said Leah likes the Python. You can bleep that out if you want. Keep it on. It's true, better ratings. Honestly, we saw Rails falling down oftentimes, you know, quite a bit. And we noticed that there was some scalability issues. And I'm not saying that this is Rails' fault. Maybe it comes down to the developer level. But for us, we were like, Leah was fairly comfortable with Python. She liked it. She was into it. And I really wanted to go PHP. When we all sat down and we're talking about languages, I was pushing for PHP. She really liked Django as a framework and was into it. And, you know, she's a developer and she sets the technical direction for the project. And so we did it, and it's worked out great so far.
I hear these whisperings about tea. You're like a really big fan of tea?
You know, growing up in, you know, a Russian household, I was born in Russia. I drank tea my whole life. It's something I am passionate about. That's all I got to say for now. There's obviously obnoxious similarities to what's going on with tea and wine. I kind of see the tea industry as I saw the wine industry maybe 20 years ago. So it's something I pay attention to.
Forgive me for my raspy voice.
You could be a rapper with that voice almost.
Like, from someone like me, I've seen you kind of progress your career back from G4. You were doing Dark Tips. It was like completely different Kevin from today.
Right.
Tell us a bit about the transition from like way back when to like Kevin now.
I think that, what's that? Is that you said more pimp? No, I mean, honestly, when I was doing the thing at Tech TV, I always, and this is something I will never, ever, ever go public with, but I had a whole series of websites and projects, and don't you say a damn word, Gary, because you know some of them. You know one that you wanted to buy, you bastard. So I had a whole bunch of web ideas. I always did. I was always making websites. I had a couple standalone apps that I developed. You know, I used to write code way back when. I created a couple of web apps. This was very early on, way pre-Dig days. And even when I was at G4, and even before G4 at Tech TV, I was always a kind of idea guy. I think I really got the inspiration from my family. My dad, my mom, and my sister have three separate businesses right now that they're running on their own. You know, my dad has his own accounting business. My mom does a really creative thing with gift baskets every year with high-end gourmet food. And my sister is a buyer of, like, different clothing lines for different stores in Las Vegas. So, you know, it's coming from a family of entrepreneurs and kind of seeing and they really kind of inspired me when I looked at the fact that, you know, I don't have to have a 9-to-5 job. I really was enjoying the stuff I was doing at Tech TV, but when it moved down to G4 and was moved down to Los Angeles, I realized, like, I'm not having fun anymore, you know? I had a lot of fun when I was in San Francisco. I love the team. I love working with Patrick and Leo and the entire crew. But at that point, it was like, you know, so many people are taking their really cool ideas and turning them into something much bigger. I should just, you know, try and do the same thing. And that's why I was sitting there and I was like, you know what? Okay, I launched Dig. It's starting to take off. Sure, it's not huge, but if it can pay my rent, I will quit right now and do that full time. It's the gamble I took, and it's been a lot of fun.
So when are we going to see OpenID support in Dig?
Well, in FOA last year.
Don't even you. So basically, I was going to do OpenID support, but then Gary said, wait for me, because I'm looking to add it in Corked. And I said, Gary, you know what? The day you add it to Corked is the day it goes live on Dig. So, yeah, exactly. He took the mic, but he couldn't say shit. Exactly. So, and honestly, there's one really – I got to give a shout-out to Steve Williams that works at Dig. We just joined the data portability group, and we've actually launched quite a few things since my dumb announcement of OpenID very early. But as far as check out his blog post on Dig at blog.dig.com. We were trying to free up our data as much as possible, and he's really kind of the leader in that space and really pushing that from internally from Dig. And it's something that we'll continue to make strides in this year.
We actually interviewed Kevin Marks earlier today.
Wow, awesome.
And he actually commended you guys on your data portability, like being very open. Like anything on Dig is like open. It's out there for somebody to repurpose and reuse. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, honestly, from the beginning, and this is why I launched everything that was submitted to Dig under the Creative Commons domain, public domain license, is that we believe that we aren't creating content at Dig, right? It's the users. It's the masses that come to our site. So it's their content. If they want to repurpose it and do whatever they want with it, they can do so, and we'll always stick to that principle.
So, Gary, like, how does someone get on Conan O'Brien? That's just crazy to me.
I'm a big believer in, thank you. I'm a big believer in that when you believe, you can make shit happen. I really made a huge mistake in hindsight. I really, 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 really thought that I would be on Conan O'Brien one day. Like, early on. Just because I respect him so much. I think he's, like, the guy when it comes to humor and just being smart about it. And I just wish I mentioned that I thought it would happen one day, because, really, it happened insanely. I was flying back from L.A. I met with some agents that weekend, and I was in the airport in L.A., and I got an email that said, hey, I'm Jenna something. We'd like to have you on the Conan O'Brien show. And, you know, it's one of those things where you got to, like, look at the email and be like, are your friends, like, dicking you, you know? And I responded, and by the time I landed after the six-hour flight, like, we had a conference call, and, you know, they saw what I did online. They thought it was fresh and interesting. And this is my whole thing. It's the whole, you know, thing I talked about today. Content is king. If your shit is not good, if it's not great, you're already in trouble. But I think too many people, and I really feel it in this space, I really do, underestimate marketing, PR, and doing the right things for their community. You've got to do it all, because that's the stuff that's going to put you on the radar for people like the producer of Conan O'Brien. And then that's, you know, and then it all just becomes a momentum thing. After I was on Conan, I mean, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, like 45,000 people went on the site in like 13 seconds. It was pretty awesome, because you tape it earlier and you get, that was the best, because I got to tape it, it rocked, had dinner with my family, that rocked, then I had everybody over, like 40 people, watch Conan while I was on my laptop looking at my spy software to watch my stats and just watching. I mean, listen, nothing beats a Dig effect. Still my favorite stuff. When making front page Dig dominates the world. I just sit there and watch 80 people a second, but this was scariness. I mean, you know, millions and millions of people watching when Conan said you can check them out at winelibrarytv.com just to sit there and watch what national TV can do. And so, you know, how do people get on? When they really, really do what they come, you know, what they love, where it comes from the heart, and they really work their asses off.
How do you feel about that, Kevin?
I've never been on any show like that. I think that Gary's a rock star. And he signed a T-shirt that he gave me the other day, and I was appreciative of that.
Please, when I hang with Kevin, I have to take pictures for 48 hours a day.
Like, you are the two guys that get to drink for a living, right? This is crazy.
Dude, give me some shit for that. That's true.
And here we are drinking more. Awesome.
It's pretty insane. We get paid to consume alcohol, yes.
Tell us about Revision 3.
I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to tell you about Revision 3 real quick. I think Revision 3, I almost called it Rev 3, but when you call it Rev 3, Jim Lauterbach punches you in the face. So I'm scared of Jim Lauterbach. So I think Revision 3, if focused and proper, will be the biggest selling, ludicrous business moves in this space of all time, because I have no doubt in my mind. Do you know what I'm doing right now? I'm making the Conan mistake. I'm not repeating it. So I'm going on record and saying that Revision 3 is going to be one of the most financially obnoxious maneuvers in this space of all time, if done right. That's what I think about how grand of a concept Revision 3 is.
I think Gary pretty much just summed it up right there. Appreciate that, Gary.
Revision 3 kind of came around at the same time they did, right?
Yeah, a couple months later.
So was it part of or sort of? Not really, but...
So I was the only one doing Dig full time. And at the time, I wanted to leave G4 and create a new show for online. Like, so we created System and we created a couple other shows. So the idea was to get a company that could create original content, like original programming for the web, fill that niche of hardcore like tech programming that we weren't able to do on G4, because obviously they cut out some of the shows. Yeah, I mean, we just had fun doing it. Right, put it out there, the fans will consume it, and we honestly had more traffic and more downloads and more viewers per episode of like Dig Nation than we ever did with our Nielsen rating at, you know, the screensavers on Tech TV. So the web is great for that, because for the first time, people don't have to have that like third-tier digital cable to subscribe to something. It's not like, oh, I have the Comcast like platinum package and you're on channel 758, you know. They can just say like, hey, this is like something I enjoy. Boom, iTunes, subscribe. Boom, TiVo, subscribe. You know, Apple TV, subscribe. Whatever it is, we want to make sure that our content is available. I mean, we're on Virgin America Airlines now. Which Gary's going to be on there soon. Are you? Are you coming? I can make that happen. I'll hook that up. You got to do that, dude. That would be huge. It's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, it's basically for us, it was about creating content that we could freely move around to any platform. I mean, one of the things about television, and probably most people don't know this, but when you're working in traditional TV and you're shooting this content for television, they tell you, like, you can't move this to the web. Like, they won't let you take a full episode of a TV show. They're just finally starting to break down those barriers. When you see shows like Lost and other shows like that going completely online, but it's still wrapped with ads. But back when we were doing Tech TV, like, we were like, okay, you know, what if we cut out this segment, or what if we cut out this, you know, this episode because it was a great episode and put it online? They would say, you know, we can't do that. We have syndication partnerships that are set up that are exclusive and said, you know, that they exclusively say, like, there's no way that you can move this onto the internet. And that just sucked for us.
So what are you guys working on next? Like, Gary obviously mentioned the food thing. And, you know, I think that's a great fit for Tasty Planner, which is our little app that we built.
Big fan of that site, by the way. Huge, huge, huge. And I have one too. Huge fan of what you guys are doing. And yeah, there are some natural fits. I mean, you know, Kevin's working on this new porn site. I'm not supposed to be really talking about it, but he's been working pretty hard on it, spending a lot of time developing it. What, you want to tell him about it?
No, I think it's pretty clear that Gary's going to be my first talent on the site, because he's just so over the top. And he just keeps going and going and going. And he just doesn't shut up, and it's awesome. And that's what we like Gary for.
Yeah, so that was a nice counter, dude. You know, I think it's imperative. You know, Kevin and I hang out a lot and talk a lot. And, you know, even last night, I think we came up with, 11 businesses. You know, that's difficult. That's difficult to, when you're so hungry and excited and you know you can make it work, it's difficult to stay focused on what you've got to stay focused on. When you spread yourself thin, it becomes a problem. I mean, trust me, I'm getting my ass handed to me in the wine community for not doing the right thing with Cork yet, for example. Everyone's like, dude, you're lame. And I'm like, I know, but you have to, you know, you had to understand the circumstances. It was not something I was interested in, but they basically made me buy it. You know, I mean, so for us, we are definitely working in the gourmet food spectrum going through the rest of this year.
The thing that kills me, though, is I think you have huge opportunity with Cork. I mean, that's first of all, the design, obviously, Cedar Home, top-notch. You've got all this big community of people coming together, sharing their wine reviews. I mean, I think with the right spin, I mean, this could be, like, a lot bigger.
I totally agree. I think we could absolutely destroy it. But like I talked about, you know, I talked about this today. You got to go with your heart because you always win. I've been sitting on this damn gourmet site for so long, and we were 3 months into, you know, into development and thought process, and I'm so excited what's going to happen. I'm devastated because we really worked hard for us to kind of launch it while I spoke today. I had this awesome idea of having all these, like, male and female models come out and hand everybody, like, picnic baskets full of food. It was going to be sick. And then obviously parlay that into a huge hype bowl at South By, but we missed it. But this is something I've been sitting on for so long, and I gotta address that. And so I'm excited about it in a big time way. Kevin's working on something cool. Kev, tell him about it.
I have nothing new. It keeps me busy enough, but I think you'll see Gary and I working together in the future.
Go back to Revision 3.
Oh boy.
Now the reason why I'm curious is like I've seen it. What's it? It's like 18 shows now.
It's quite a few.
18 shows?
Yeah.
Right? And that started as like 3, maybe 4. System was the original.
Yeah.
Where do you see it going?
Well, I think that, you know, we're expanding out from, we have this very core audience of people that are geeks, that are technology fans, and then like geek content. So, you know, we started off with shows like System that are very in-depth. You know, shows like Totally Rad Show, which are kind of geek culture shows, obviously Dignation. I think we listened a lot to our audience, and they come back to us and say, hey, like, you know, this is the kind of content we want, or would you do a show about this? Would you do a show about that? And then we have some surprises as well, just like, you know, really good talent and people that have come to the table and said, I can create awesome, you know, mid to long form content for you that you won't find on television. And why not give it a shot? And it's the thing about creating web content is that most times it's a fairly low kind of barrier to entry. It doesn't cost a whole lot to launch a show, or at least to give it a shot. You know, you can create a pilot on the cheap. You can launch a show or two and just see how the community reacts. I think that's a lot of fun, and I think there's a lot of really creative people at Revision 3. And you'll see more and more shows coming out that are just, you know, us trying, testing the waters.
So if there was someone out there that was like, four years ago, and was like, I want to do sort of what you're doing now, what kind of advice could you give them if they wanted to start their idea about, like, creating video content? Or, you know, what kind of advice could you give them?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I'm sure Gary's got a couple. If you're starting something new, without a doubt, single biggest piece of advice is launch it on your own. Don't take money from anybody else. Go out there, do it on the cheap. Launch the site. If you have like a new project that you want to get off the ground, get it live. Get the Alexa chart going in the right direction. Prove the concept. I mean, obviously, don't break the bank while you're doing this, but, you know, own your own company. Don't give it away. Get it out there. And if all goes well, like in the case of Dig, we were 6 months in, and I couldn't afford to buy any more servers because I was broke as hell. But really, at that point in time, it was okay to take funding because we had the valuation, we had the traction, we had the traffic where we could go to investors and say, like, hey, obviously we have a proven concept. They would give us some money, but not only that, they would peg a valuation on the company that was high enough to where I didn't have to give away the entire company. You know what I mean? So, and that's a big deal. Because I see so many new startups, and there's a few friends of mine that launched companies, but very early on were like, you know, I need a couple $100K to do this right, or I need $500,000 to do this right. And they would give away their entire project, and it just kills me because you don't have to do it that way. You can hire freelancers, you can hire freelance designers, and you can do it on the cheap, and that by far is the best way to do it.
You know, Kevin Rose loved Slashdot to the point where he went there and met, tell me if I'm wrong, and met with the guy and was like, "This is, you should have the community do something, right?" I mean, so what did he do, right? He went with something that was his heart. He loved it. You want to do something? Passion. You want to do it? Like I said today, I really should have done sports if I wanted the money. Seriously. But, so if somebody's listening out there, don't dick around and want to be the next Facebook or Twitter or Pounce or Dig or what have it. Do what you love. If you love red-headed hamsters, you can monetize that. You could be the red-headed hamster king. So, you know what I mean? So, come from a place where you care about it.
Like you care a lot about redhead hamsters, then? Is that what we're getting
to? I love red hamsters and pythons, you know?
And pythons.
But you know what I mean? Come from a place where it's about what you are about. It's your DNA. When it doesn't feel like work, it's something you want, and you've got scratch your own itch.
Are you open to someone like becoming a community manager at Quarks to kind of get like the news up to date?
It's not the news. It's like I don't understand what to do unless I'm in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't care. I know I can hire a billion people, good ones, that I know it's going to lose because I'm not in. And I'm not in, not because I don't believe in it, because I agree with Kevin. It's probably the biggest thing I got from a business standpoint. If I kill it for 2 years in there, it's probably the thing I can most sell off to a Constellation Brands or Diageo for 100, 200 mil. The thing is that it's not where my heart is at this moment. It's going to be because it's in my mindset. I brush my teeth every day, look at my face and say, you're a jerk off for not being there yet. And I know I will be there when I'm ready.
How much you want for Quarks right now? Let me throw a 50 on it. I got 50,000.
50,000? Nah, man. I'll trade you for a dig.
You'll trade me for a dig?
You heard me.
How about no? I got a honey on it. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Let's make a deal on the podcast.
No.
All right, we'll see. We'll talk in 6 months when there's a little downturn in the economy.
When I sell 8 billion pounds of Parmesan in one day, I'm not going to need your hundy.
This is how we work together.
So how do you take a community from, like, you know, 5-10 users, maybe a couple of people hitting it off your blog, to, you know, the dig effect where you're crunching web servers without a second thought?
So I got to tell you something, and this is honestly the dead truth. Gary, in his talk, if you haven't seen it at Future Web Apps, hit it right on when he says the community is everything. And the crazy thing, though, is I lost touch with that a little bit. Because what happened is, like, very early on with Dig, I was in there every single day posting comments, like, in there talking to the community, getting involved, like, very hand-holding and, like, just, like, having a good time. But then it grew to a size where I thought, like, okay, this is crazy. You know, we have 25 million people or whatever it was at the time, 15 million people come to the site. It's too much. Like, I how can I possibly touch base with these people and, like, you know, have an impact and, like, still be involved? And so I shifted what would have been like daily comments and, like, you know, contributing to the site from, like, not only a submission but like a comment standpoint to really kind of blog posts, you know, where it was like every, like, once a month I would be like, hey, here's a new feature or something like that. But in reality, you got to be there every step of the way. And I'm realizing that now. You know, we're creating these town halls where we sit down with people. We have face-to-face conversations, which we'll do in our next live town hall. And we really talk to the people that are most passionate about Dig. And we say, you know, what are the issues that you see with the site? Because, like, if there's any one thing I've learned, I mean, especially with our comment system, we rolled out a Dig comment system here, you know, a year ago. And the community was like, we hate this. We want you to revamp it. It sucks, blah, blah, blah. And what I took away from that initially was, like, you hate our comments. Okay, fine. We'll figure out a way to do it different, right? But in reality, what the message should have been was, like, okay, you hate our comments. Here's a blog post, and now let's talk about, all of us get together and talk about how we can make the comments better and how we can have that conversation. And we did that, and the community came back with hundreds of people voting up their favorite features and, like, oh, you need to add this, you need to do this. And the coolest thing was, like, we're engaging all of those hundreds and thousands of people at once to say, like, this is where we want to take Dig. This is what we like about Dig, and this is how you can make it better. And we're finally, for the first time, I feel really connecting with that and turning it into real product, and we're going to be launching that. And so I think we have a much deeper connection with the community than we did 6 months ago, and it's only going to get better. But Gary was right on in his talk today. It's got to be that deep one-on-one connection with your community.
So I think that goes to trust, maybe. I think you talked about it a little bit today in your talk, Gary. I think we kind of saw it with Tasty Planner. We you know, we saw Lifehacker linked to us, and
huge.
We saw a lot of, like, really involved users come to us. So I think that goes to, like, the trust that the Lifehacker community has in the Lifehacker posts.
My brother every day yells and screams at me for not trying to have some sort of relationship with Lifehacker, since they talk about wine and have never mentioned Wine Library TV, right? The other day, he's like, wants to beat my ass because, you know, you're right, because, you know, they listen. And I talked about, like, my viewers clicking on things that I said them to at an obnoxious, like, 60% ratio. They need to know who you are. And you know, listen, this, I talk about this, let's just call it Web 2.0 sphere, or like this community social media realm. I love to compare it to hip hop 1985. I do. I really see a lot of similarities, how it's a small niche thing. There's a lot of cult heroes within, but it's not completely mainstream. A lot of people like to work with each other. There's a lot of great hip hop stuff in the early days where people were on each other's albums without any drama. And what I really feel is, just like in that community, right? Once you get big a little bit, right? Like when LL Cool J had a big hit early on in his career, and he got like on mainstream TV, he was already selling out. There's a lot of stuff like that happening in this community, right? There's a hip hop mentality circa 1985 in the web space right now. And just like in that space, if you get a little too much recognition or a little too much coin, you're a sellout. And people have to be very, very cognizant of that. And what that makes you do is you have to work your community even harder. And that's what Kevin's just talking about. What they're doing, and I talked about it in my talk today, and not because I love the guy, but because that was huge. Town Hall, you know, the other major top 20, 30 sites, you know, Facebook could use a town hall right now, folks. Big time. Zucks, get out there. Shake a couple hands. It can go a long way. Because your brand can go from hero to zero. So this is a different world. You can blow up and disappear in a heartbeat.
So before we get to the last question, I wanted to mention our sponsor, Engine Yard. They are a great Rails hosting platform, specifically geared towards business hosting. If you're interested in stable, reliable, painless hosting services, they really are one of the best out there. We use them with Tasty Planner. We've been very happy with them since they set us up with our account. I actually witnessed something in an IRC chat room, which was pretty awesome. I was hanging out in Caboose, which is like an off-rails type chat room. And someone had gotten their Rails site up on TechCrunch, and it was getting flooded with people looking at it, and the site wasn't holding up well with the host that they had chosen to go with. And they were talking about it in the room, and Ezra jumped in, and he's like, hey, you know, we can help you out. They had, in under an hour, they had all the slices set up and had everything migrated over to Engine Yard, and the guy's site was running solidly after that, and he just didn't have any more server problems once he switched to Engine Yard. Yes, if you're interested, check out engineyard.com.
So I think you already alluded to it, but is there anything super secret you're working on?
I am working on a CD, you know. I'm looking to get my first Grammy. It's called Love Songs with Vino on the side.
Nice.
Little something, a little Barry White kind of tone. But not too much, you know. Definitely the food thing. I don't want to go crazy into it. I'm super excited about it. You know, love what you guys did with Tasty Planner, really. Like, super,
thank you.
Super... congratulations. So, yeah, it's nice, right, Kev? Do you know how pumped this dude is right now that you're wearing that? Like, that's, like, surreal to him. I drank wine with some guy the other day at Burns Steakhouse in Tampa, and, like, legitimately, I thought he was going to murder me. He just kept looking at my grill, and I was like, dude, please, let's relax. I'm a human being.
So what super secret thing are you working on, Kevin?
Super secret? I don't have anything. Well, I do, but I can't talk about it. We got some cool stuff coming out with Dig. I can guarantee you that, and I do this, I shouldn't say once a year, but there's going to be one thing or two things that we're launching in Dig this year. They're going to be complete kind of game changers for who we are as a site right now. And you'll see that later this year. So I'm excited about it. It's going to take a lot of work, but we're well underway. So
I don't read books. The question is, any books you're reading? I don't, because I like to stay original in my own thoughts within myself. It's kind of stupid, but it's worked for me. Like, a lot of marketing people want me to do things, and they're like, who do you read? Who do you come from? And I'm like, DNA world, you know? But, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff going on always. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than, you know, seeing something that is going to come. I mean, No doubt, in the next 60 days, the site's going to come out. You know, I'm very much paying attention to this friend feed. Another, you know, I'm surprised. I mean, I've been friend feeded like 150 times the last 24 hours. I think I'm really curious to see if it blows up hard at South by. But I know there'll be a guaranteed site in the next 60 days that's changing the game.
You've been friend feeded 150 times. Wow, that's crazy. What was the question? Books? Yeah, I don't read books either. There we are.
I think we've clearly established the key to success is to not read books.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up, guys. Thanks for coming up on the show.
Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
We're at a party. I think we should go get some drinks.
This episode was brought to you by EngineYard. For the best business class Rails-focused hosting, go to EngineYard's website at engineyard.com. That's E-N-G-I-N-E-Y-A-R-D.com.